Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, February 1st, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabweans and other people in different nations are divided over President Robert Mugabe's threats to pull Africans out of the United Nations.
Great statement that resonates with most of our African people. However, as usual, it is coming from a wrong person.
Mr. Mugabe's remarks that he will die in office have also infuriated Zimbabweans.
I'll still be there until God says come. Then I'll go and join the others.
Harare residents are not happy over the local authorities' move to force them to slash maize crops.
The Harare residents have shocked at the high levels of insensitivity being displayed by municipal officials. It would seem that the council is now split into two sections.
And a typhoid outbreak threatens Harare residents.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Remarks by Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe and former chairman of the African Union calling for the reform of the United Nations and going a step further to threaten to pull out of the UN have caused a lot of divisions locally and internationally. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu has more details.
President Mugabe received a standing ovation from his peers Saturday after delivering a no-holds-barred speech at the AU summit in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, as he handed over power to Chadian strongman Idris Deby.
And now you get some people still saying, because we are white and you're black, we can't give you the honor of equality in the Security Council. Nonsense. That should stop. Mr. Ban Ki-moon, just tell them for the last time, just as a message that you have heard for the last time from here, that there should be real equality in the Security Council. We can't just be coming to the General Assembly to make empty, hollow speeches and go back home. Nobody takes care of all the concerns we express. No.
The permanent members of the United Nations Security Council, also known as the Permanent Five, Big Five or P5, include China, France, Russia, the United Kingdom and the United States. The members represent the five great powers from the victors of World War II. Each of the permanent members has the power to veto, enabling them to prevent the adoption of any substantive draft council resolution, regardless of the level of international support for the draft. But reactions to Mr. Mugabe's remarks have been varied, and Johannesburg-based international relations expert David Monyae says this is a dilemma for Zimbabweans as their leader is very much loved by outsiders, yet is loathed by some at home.
I think the very first thing that one can say, it was great views expressed, which received applause from the audience, a great statement that resonates with most of our African people. However, as usual, it is coming from a wrong person who has issues, unresolved political issues and governance issues in his own country. And that brings a challenge in Zimbabwe, that you always have this contradiction that this leader is a pan-Africanist. However, he makes a lot of mistakes in his own country.
ZANU-PF Makonde legislator Kindness Paradza says Mr. Mugabe was spot on.
Let me tell you that the entire population of Zimbabwe, that is the 14 million of us, we are all behind the President Mugabe in his push to have Africa, to have the United Nations reformed, and also to have Africa be included in the Security Council.
But opposition MDCT spokesman Obed Gutu says President Robert Mugabe was merely playing to the gallery.
He normally does get standing ovations, but those standing ovations should not be taken as approval of whatever you would have said. You know that most people are just amused. They take it as some kind of comic relief. Because when you look at the people who were actually giving him that standing ovation, I looked carefully at the television screen. A very meaningless gesture, if I may call it that. This is why I find most African presidents, they will not even come up with those kind of ridiculous suggestions to say, let's move out of the United Nations. So don't mistake that standing ovation as approval of what you would have said.
International relations expert Clifford Mashiri, a former Zimbabwean diplomat in Addis Ababa, argues that Mr. Mugabe must first reform his country before taking the gospel of democracy to the United Nations.
It's also hypocritical for Mr. Mugabe to suggest that the African Union of 54 nations leaves the United Nations allegedly for reforms that he said have not been made. When back home in Zimbabwe, he has failed, his government has failed to reform.
Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition Regional Coordinator Joy Mabenge says Mr. Mugabe's call is not new, as many developing countries have been pushing for such reforms.
It's a bona fide message. Every African leader agrees that the UN must go through some reform of some sort, particularly the Security Council, especially on the aspect of African representation, especially in terms of having a permanent seat. That is a bona fide message. However, for President Mugabe to purport to speak for the entirety of 54 or 55 nations of the African Union or on the African continent and threaten to pull out, more so threaten to pull out at the point he's exiting as chairperson, is very ridiculous.
Though there is no consensus on President Robert Mugabe, the messenger, many say there is a growing push by developing nations to reform the all-powerful Security Council. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, this is Blessing Zulu.
The Harare Residents Trust says it will seek an audience with City Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni over reports that the local authority has instructed residents of St. Martin's and surrounding areas to slash maize crops planted on unserviced council land. Precious Shumba, director of the trust, says the council seems out of touch with the reality as Zimbabwe is facing a critical shortage of grain due to the current dry spell and some past poor crop seasons. The council announced last week that residents who planted maize on designated areas must get rid of their plants, as the local authority is planning to start servicing stands this week. Shumba tells Studio 7 the council should wait until the residents have harvested their crops before it rolls out its project.
The Harare Residents Trust is shocked at the high levels of insensitivity being displayed by municipal officials. It would seem that the council is now split into two sections, one belonging to central government, made up of a few employees who are seeing the government choose, and the other one that stands on the side of the people, of the councillors. These councillors were elected by the residents. The councillors, when they speak to residents, they are very categorical that they do not agree with the reckless statement emanating from city communications department. It then implies that officials in the city communications department are working in couch with certain officials in the government just to punish the council, just to go against the people elected by the people. How can they be so ironic as to choose St. Martin as a place to start a said, it cannot lead for a dangerous change.
Are you planning to sit down and discuss this issue with the local authority?
We will definitely speak with the mayor of Harare.
That was Harare Residents Trust Director Precious Shumba speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. But Harare City Council spokesman Michael Chideme says it is not true that the council has instructed residents to slash their crops. Chideme told Studio 7 they only spoke to the few residents whose crops were planted in areas where the council is constructing roads and laying sewer pipes.
It's not true that we have instructed residents to slash their maize. What we have done is to inform the residents of the program that we are going to carry out in the area, which is to open roads, to open for sewer and for water. So all we have told the residents is we will pave way for the roads on some of the land that they have planted their maize, right? And we will allow them to harvest their maize crop when it's ripe, but there's only a very small portion that we are going to clear for road construction.
How many stands do you plan to set up in these areas?
Initially, we're going to do 234 stands and then increase the number once we have done this 234, the initial phase.
Do you think that the crops that are going to be affected are not going to be of much significance considering the country is facing hunger?
It's an urgent issue situation here, Kandemiri. We have to provide housing for the people, right? And that land is not designated for farming, it's designated for housing. But we have been very humane as to say we only pave a portion, a small portion, where we want to put roads and leave the rest of the crop so that people can harvest their maize.
When are you planning to start this project?
We are planning to do that this week.
That was Harare City Council spokesman Michael Chideme in Harare with Studio 7.
The unrelenting economic crisis in Zimbabwe is seeing more companies shutting down while others continue to struggle, resulting in more job losses, as many retrenched workers are faced with the problem of not getting their benefits. Former employees of one of the country's biggest state-owned companies have formed an association whose main aim is to ensure that the workers get their dues in full. Our correspondent Taurai Shaba brings us more.
The National Railways of Zimbabwe, or NRZ, is one of the many companies in both public and private sectors that retrenched workers following last July's Supreme Court ruling, which gave employers the right to terminate employment after giving workers a three-month notice to end their contracts. After the ruling, NRZ retrenched over 450 workers, citing the main reason that its workers were too many and it was struggling to pay monthly salaries. Last October, some of the workers came together to form an organization known as the Association of Railways Terminated Employees, or ART. Planning ART director, Innocent Mpanganyama, says the main objective of the association, which currently has 130 members, is to compel NRZ to give the former workers their full benefits and also to teach members to create their own employment.
The prime objective is to coerce the former employer through using all constitutional means to ensure that we are paid all our monies. And we're there to counsel all our members, we're there to train them, we are there to do group projects, clustering people in various projects. As we speak, we've got an operating project right now of raising quail beds.
Clashes between the NRZ and its former workers over delayed payments of their benefits have been reported a number of times in the media, as the workers have at times staged demonstrations to show their disgruntlement over the issue. ART chairperson Linda Msarira acknowledges the protracted struggle over payment of their terminal benefits, but says she's confident that all retrenched employees will get them in full.
NRZ cannot say they will not pay us or they do not have money. Where they are going to get the money is none of our business. They owe us money. They decided to terminate our contracts of employment, which meant they had the money. Doesn't make sense that you're claiming that there are too many people in the system. At the same time, you are recruiting. They keep on recruiting, yet at the same time, they say they don't have money to pay us. No organization that does not have money continuously keeps recruiting.
Another ART executive member, Musa Kapena, says NRZ cannot argue that it has no money, claiming that the company's top management gets hefty allowances.
We have got documentary proof for some of these situations that we are talking about to say they exorbitantly paid themselves.
NRZ spokesperson Fanuel Maskati and acting general manager Louis Mkwada were not available for comment. Transport Minister Joram Gumbo has refuted claims that the company continues to recruit workers, saying it has no money to do so. But Finance Director Frank Bulle told the weekly newspaper recently that NRZ's management gets between 70% and 80% of their salaries regularly, despite the fact that the company often fails to pay other workers and former employees on time. Mavis Mukai, a former carpenter with NRZ and a single mother, says the delay in getting their severance packages is causing various problems for the ex-employees, including failure to provide basics for their children.
As a result of us not getting our terminal benefits and salaries from NRZ, families are breaking apart every day, children are suffering, women end up going into the streets doing ladies of the night jobs because you can't let your family suffer.
Chairperson Msarira says former workers with diseases like diabetes and hypertension, as well as those living with HIV, are also facing problems in accessing medication through NRZ's medical aid branch, despite the fact that lump sum premiums were deducted from their terminal benefits. She says there are also some former employees who need counseling as they have found it difficult to accept their fate. Msarira adds that ART has already proved its effectiveness in helping former workers, as it has been able to have NRZ agree to stop evicting some of them from company houses until they get their packages in full.
After we engaged NRZ management, initially when they tried to evict us, they understood our situation and advised us that we could stay in those houses, as we had said, until they pay us everything that they owe us. But in the past fortnight or so, we've been hearing that in sidings, the small stations and all, they've been going there with dogs and guns, trying to force the former employees out of those houses.
Some observers say the Supreme Court ruling has left employees at the mercy of employers. ART says it hopes to grow into an organization that can help retrenched workers elsewhere to get their requisite benefits. Reporting for Studio 7 from Mulawayo, this is Taurai Shawa.
Now a look at regional and international news.
After months of rallies, speeches and debates, the U.S. primary election campaign is set to formally get underway Monday when Iowa residents cast their presidential preference at caucus sites across the Midwestern state.
A British woman who took her child to Syria and joined the Islamic State has been sentenced to 6 years in prison.
And UN envoy Staffan de Mistura struggled today to keep peace talks on track in Geneva, where Syrian government and opposition representatives are present but not yet fully involved in indirect negotiations.
Harare City Council Health Director Prosper Chonzi says local people should practice good hygiene to avoid contracting typhoid, which has once again resurfaced in some high-density suburbs. Chonzi says so far 7 people are suspected to have contracted the disease. A similar outbreak of typhoid claimed the lives of a lot of people a few years ago. Chonzi tells Studio 7 poor hygiene and unsafe drinking water helps to spread the bacterial disease.
At the moment, we have confirmed 7 cases of typhoid in the last week. The figures are a bit low, although the potential for spread is huge. That's why we are responding in this manner. We are going all out to make sure that this disease does not spread. We don't have any cases of cholera. We don't have any deaths. So for the time being, it's just typhoid alone.
Which areas have you actually detected some of these cases that you've confirmed?
They are most, it's in the high density suburbs, Glenora, Budiriro, Hopley, and Hatfield.
What would you say are the major causes of typhoid?
Well, in this case, the key drivers remain issues to do with water and sanitation, personal hygiene, uncontrolled vending, especially vending of food items, people buying prepared food from uninspected and unlicensed premises, then non-collection of refuse. These are the key drivers. But the one that we think is stopping the list is the issue of erratic water supplies resulting in people using or digging shallow wells that are not protected. And also with the rainy season upon us, most of the sewer material is now being washed away from the bushes into those shallow wells. And again, people are still using, especially in the newly settled areas, people are still using pit latrines for toilets. And those are a major driver of the disease.
But then some of your critics would say that some of the drivers of that disease, typhoid, are actually the responsibility of the city council, like clean water, refuse collection. What is the city council doing to rectify and making sure that residents have clean water and that the refuse is collected on time?
Yes, I think that is critical, especially from the health aspect, where you need to make sure that people have these things. But there are other challenges there, where, you know, there's been inadequate water. At least now something is being done. We know some effort is being made at Morton Jaffrey to increase the pumping capacity so that most people have water 24/7. But again, the major challenge with distribution of water is the old piping that is underground. So if you look at our non-revenue water, it's almost constituting 50 to 60%. So even if you produce a lot of water, 50 to 60% of that water is lost before it even gets to the client. So there is need for a total revamp of the system, the distribution system underground. Then we can get water to the people. The other issue on sanitation, yes, at the moment you don't get a lot of sewer base in the city, but there are these new areas. Is like Hopley is a very new settlement which needs a lot of off-site infrastructure. It was not as planned as the other cities, but I think there were major challenges in terms of housing provision. So people just settled haphazardly. We need to address those issues for us to then say we no longer have sporadic outbreaks of typhoid.
What would you urge people to do to avoid passing on or contracting typhoid?
There are different players. Firstly, we, the authorities on Sito Volare and government as a whole, should firstly try and provide people with water 24 hours a day, and then the sanitation sorted out. But then people also have a responsibility for their health, where we talk of them boiling the water before domestic use, because some of these germs will be live. So if you boil or treat with aqua tablets, you prevent the disease. The other thing is for people to practice good personal hygiene, where they wash their hands before eating and they also wash their hands after using the toilet. Then the people should desist from buying food from uninspected or unlicensed premises, because it's mostly the food that will be contaminated or the water that will be contaminated. We will continue educating people on some of these hazards, and for as long as we have a conscious public that are then practicing some of the things we're talking about now.
That was Dr. Prosper Chonzi, Harare City Council Health Director, speaking with us from Harare.
A centenary white commercial farmer has been kicked off out of his farm to make way for a British-based Zimbabwean doctor, Sylvester Nyatsuro. Philip Rankin was arrested and forcibly removed from his property by police on Friday, even as he was preparing to harvest his tobacco crop. Speaking from the farm, journalist Pindai Dube tells Studio 7 heavily armed police remain at the property.
Right now we are in Centenary at the farm, Droville Farm, and the workers are funded. Police from Harare and Centenary surrounded armed police. The farm, and the situation is very pathetic. They don't know what is going to happen to them, and it's so sad.
Who is at the farm at the moment? Is it the police, ZANU-PF supporters, the guy who has evicted this farmer? Who's there?
The people who are at the farm, who are surrounding the farm, is the police. Because I counted, I saw about the 10 heavily armed police from the support unit and some relatives of Dr. Nyatsuro. He's a dreadlock guy, but we didn't get his name. So those are the people who are at the farm house. The farmer is in Harare, and what happened, Mr. Nkomo, is that the farmer planted his tobacco, and it was due for harvest.
That was independent journalist Pindai Duwe on the line with Ntungamili Nkomo from Centenary. In sports news, Chicken Inn chairman Lifa Ncube says preparations for the African Champions League are in top gear. Ncube tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube they are also financially sound to participate in the lucrative African Champions League.
So far, I think we are progressing quite well with our first friendly game against Zanaco on Wednesday, where we drew 2-2, and then with our last game on Wednesday against the ZESCO, the Zambian champions. We would have loved to have many friendlies, but time has only permitted us to have these three.
When is the next game?
We are playing to the Sundowns on Saturday, the 18th.
And Sundowns is a very big team, right? And do you hope you are going to win against Sundowns?
Yes, you know, Sundowns will be fielding 11 players. We will also be fielding 11 players. And our hope is to come out with a positive result.
Are you home or away?
Our first game is at home.
Do you think that maybe the 12th player on the ground is going to help you, and that is supporters?
Yes, we're hoping, but always I think starting such competitions that playing home is always an advantage, so that able to gauge their strength when you go away. Starting away is sometimes very dangerous. We hope for our fans and other people, soccer loving people in Blawa, who will come and cheer us on.
Now, did you acquire any new players to beef up your squad?
Yes, we added 4 new players. Fizio Madazi, Obadiah Karumba, and Moses Demera, the fourth one, Sinajadele from Islanders.
Do you hope to actually, you know, maybe lift the cup at the end of the day because of some of these players?
Yes. For instance, Obadiah Karumba scored in his first game with us against Zambians. We hope you continue with that form when you play against Sundowns.
And looking at financial issues, how are you right now in terms of money?
We have managed to secure enough funding for the African journey, depending on what stage we reach. But I can confirm that we are able to play until the finals.
Is there any incentive for players, you know, if they win one or two games?
Yes, we'll sit down with the players and work out a incentive package for them for each stage that they reach.
Mm. And finally, what is your message to Zimbabweans about the African Champions League?
Yes, I say we are entering into a new journey, and we are calling upon all the soccer loving fans in Zimbabwe to come and cheer us on. To be the 12 men, I know with their support we can reach far.
That was Lifa Ncube, Chicken Inn chairman, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Bulawayo.
Did President Robert Mugabe tell the African Union that he will only leave office if God calls him?
I'll still be there until God says come. Then I'll go and join the others. But as long as I'm still alive, I'll still have the punch.
We will give you full details of this issue tomorrow here on Studio 7. Stay tuned.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts Blessing Zulu and Gibbs Dube will be talking with listeners and experts about President Mugabe's threats to lead Africans to pull out of the United Nations.
Now to recap on today's top stories.
Zimbabweans and other people in different nations are divided over President Mugabe's threats to pull Africans out of the United Nations.
Mr. Mugabe's remarks that he would die in office have also infuriated Zimbabweans.
And Harare residents are not happy over the local authorities' move to force them to slash maize crops.
That's our broadcast this evening. I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye saying good night.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.